Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible, it's relevant to your life every day. And we're glad you joined us for the conversation as we explore the Gospel of Luke and discover the facts behind our faith. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. We are, this is kind of a milestone because, Caleb, it's been forever since you joined us on the podcast.
I've been waiting for you to invite me back. I didn't know if I, was not welcome back or what was going on.
It's not that you weren't welcome. It's just like everyone loves Hannah.
Right.
No. I'm thinking about just letting her start her own podcast to get it over with.
Yeah, no, it's been good, but it's been a while, but glad to be back. A lot has happened. My wife and I are now expecting our first child, so it's been a busy time, but a good time, and
so we
glad to be back on the podcast.
We expect a lot more wisdom now, right? now that you're a dad.
Yeah, I felt a lot more wisdom coming upon me, so I was just begging to be back on the podcast.
So let's jump right in. We're in Luke chapter 9, and we actually just talked about the feeding of the 5,000, and that's one of the miracles in the Bible that, when you think about it, we've all heard messages about the right. feeding of the 5,000, but they tend to be on, well, little is much when God is in it, and the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And I'm going to take it away from that, but this was a turning point in the ministry of Jesus. The feeding of the 5,000 was a time when people were looking to him at, kind of as a bread king and not as the true Messiah whom he was. So this is... who he was, objective, subjective. Anyway, all the grammar Nazis out right. there are going to jump into that. But we're in Luke chapter 9 in verse 18, where the Bible says, "And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him and asked them, saying, whom say the people that I am? They answering said, John the Baptist. But some say Elias or Elijah. Others say that one of the old prophets is risen again. He said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? Peter answering said, The Christ of God. And he straitly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be slain, and be raised the third day." So, Caleb, one of the things that I did early on in my ministry is I really studied extensively the life of Christ chronologically. Mm-hmm. And we understand that the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, each one has a specific purpose for its writing. In Luke, we see Jesus as the Son of Man. Right. And I say that to say that this event in the life of Jesus didn't take place right after the feeding of the 5,000. It took place after, but not right after. But this was an event that took place several months later when Jesus was on his way to Caesarea Philippi. And so remember, after the feeding of the 5,000, the ministry of Jesus now is looked at suspiciously because people are like, this really can't be the Messiah. Jesus had gone to Capernaum the day after the feeding of the 5,000, and the people just wanted him to do a miracle again, give us bread again. And Jesus said, no, I am the bread of life. But they weren't getting his message. And the Bible says in John 6 that many of them turned from him and went away. Mm. So Jesus looked at his own 12 and said, "Will ye also go away?" And they said, "To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." So they were confused as well, but they knew enough to know we're going to stay with Jesus.
Right.
So now Jesus is point blank asking them on the way to Caesarea Philippi, who am I? What are people saying about me? And, you know, Caleb, if people were to say those things about me, I'd be thrilled. You know, you're John the Baptist, you're Elijah, you're one of the prophets.
Yeah, it's it's an interesting, you know, part of scripture, because you look at it and, like you said, you know, it comes to a point even in the ministry of Jesus where he actually asks his disciples, what do you actually believe? And a lot of times when Jesus is asking things, we've seen Peter be the one, as in this passage, to stand up. And sometimes he trips over himself. But in this one, he has a great answer. You know, he says, you are the Christ.
And Jesus said in the parallel passage in Matthew 16, and Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. Mm-hmm. But my Father, which is in heaven. Yeah. So that's just a fancy way of saying, Peter, you're absolutely right, but you didn't figure that out on yourself. by your, it's almost right. Like, Peter, you finally got a right answer, but right.
Don't take credit for it.
Don't take credit for it, yeah. So what was it about the ministry of Jesus where people were saying, wow, this must be John the Baptist? I mean, John the Baptist had recently been executed. Mm-hmm. So even Herod thought, oh, Jesus is John the Baptist risen from the dead. He felt guilty.
Right.
But there must have been something about the ministry of Jesus that was similar to John the Baptist or similar to Elijah. Remember, the Jews believed that, and this is true, that before Messiah would come, Elijah would come. Mm-hmm. So maybe they were thinking, wow, Jesus is, this is the one that's going to be the forerunner of Messiah, which is a high and lofty thing, except for the fact that, no, he is Messiah.
Right.
And I think the point is, Jesus is more than a great prophet. He's more than a great man. He's more than somebody whom we highly respect. He is God in the flesh.
Right. Yeah. And it's such a great point, because even think about it in our own lives, sometimes we view God through our prayer life and through our everyday lives, sometimes as just a prophet, as a miracle worker. And we just, sometimes we just view God as, God, I just want you to answer this prayer. I want you to do this miracle. I want you to give me bread. I want you to supply these needs. And I think sometimes we need to take a step back and realize God is more than just a miracle worker in our lives, more than just a provider, but he is the Christ, and he's someone that we should, you know, strive for more so relationship. And sometimes in our prayer life, we find it more just, God, what can you give me? Christ, work this miracle, give me this, give me that.
Instead of really just understanding his lordship,
right,
and his authority in our life. And I love the fact that you brought out the Christ, because when we read our Bibles, sometimes we just assume Christ is another name for Jesus, but it's not a name. Christ is a title. So Christ in the New Testament means anointed one. It's analogous to the Old Testament word Messiah. So when Jesus said, when Peter said the Christ of God, he, make no bones about it, what he was saying is, you are Messiah. But the response of Jesus is a little bit curious, because watch what Jesus said in verse 21. He straightly charged them. In other words, immediately, he followed up with that declaration by saying, don't tell anybody.
It's an interesting thing.
So think about that. I mean, isn't that what we're supposed to do? Right. Tell people about Jesus?
Yeah, it takes you back when you first read that verse. You know, why in the world would Jesus say, don't tell people who I am?
So when we find out who Jesus is, that's the time to tell people who Jesus is. So why would Jesus have said to Peter and to the others, don't tell anybody? And I'll tell you what I think, and that is because they knew who Jesus was now, but they really didn't understand the nature of Messiah's ministry. They were still plugging in their definition of Messiah. Now, they knew that Jesus was Messiah, but they were plugging in their definition. And their definition was this: Messiah is going to be a ruler who is going to free us from Roman bondage. Yeah. He's going to take over the world. We're going to rule and reign with him. Now, is all that true? Mm. Will Jesus rule the world? Will Jesus' kingdom reign supreme? Will we rule and reign with him? Of course.
Right.
But what the Jews were missing is Messiah's primary responsibility coming that first time, and that was to seek and to save that which was lost. So Jesus said, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody, because if you go out and tell everybody, you're going to tell them what your perception of Messiah is, and you're going to confuse people. So wait a minute. It's not like don't ever tell anyone. He didn't say don't ever tell, because he's going to give them a commission. It's going to be a great commission. And it's part of the commission we share, and that is to tell the whole world. But don't tell them yet until you know this. And so what is the this? Well, look at verse 22, saying the Son of Man, and that would be the title that Luke would introduce Jesus as, the representative man. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders, the chief priests, the scribes, and be slain and be raised the third day. So that's why Jesus said, don't tell anybody, because he wanted to make sure that he was clarifying to them, I've got a, there's a mission I'm on, and there's some things that you don't understand about what Messiah's office will be that I need to be teaching you. And really what it is the substitutionary work on the cross.
Yeah, it's interesting to look at that passage, because a lot of times when I think of the disciples, I just think of, you know, from the very onset, they knew exactly who Jesus was. And it's neat to see the progression of how Jesus is talking to them. Even at this point, they still aren't quite sure everything that Jesus will be. They believe his word, and you know, but at times they don't fully understand his message. So I think it's...
And even here they don't, because in the other passage, if you'll recall, in Matthew 16, Peter said, no, not so, Lord.
Right.
And Jesus looked at Peter and said, get thee behind me, Satan.
Right.
that's a bad day when Jesus calls you Satan. That's right. So it's a process, because we all come into ministry. We all come into our relationship with Jesus with preconceptions about who he is and how he should behave in our lives. And a lot of what our Christian growth is God helping us to see things from his perspective. That's wisdom.
Right. Yeah. And the closer we get to him, the more time we spend with him, the more he'll reveal to us. And I've just seen that even true in my own life, just growing up from, you know, from the time you're a little kid, my perception of Christ is so much different. But I know that'll continue to change.
Yeah,
you know, moments keep going,
for sure,
revealing more.
Well, for these disciples, think about this. You know, even though Jesus now plainly said, "I'm going to Jerusalem, I'm going to suffer, I'm going to die, I'm going to rise again," it just kind of flew right over their heads. So all they could think of is, oh, he's Messiah. We're going to rule and reign. Who's going to be the greatest? Who's going to sit on the right hand, on the left hand? That this will never happen. And they forsook him and fled the night of his betrayal. They just, for some reason, this did not stick in their brains until after he rose from the dead. And then they saw it. And then they got the confidence. So it's easy for us to look at them and get on their case.
Yeah.
But how often do we have to be told the same things over and over and over again, because they assault our preconceptions about what God should be or what we think he should be?
Yeah, that's so good.
So I think that's all that we'll talk about today, my friends. But let me ask you just this question, and that is, you know, what preconceptions do you have about the Lord, about how he's supposed to work in your life, about who he's supposed to be? Listen, he is the Lord. He is in control, but his plan is so far greater than our plan. His purposes are to accomplish eternal goods. And that's what's happening here in this passage. And I think that's what's happening in your life. And so trust him today and rely upon him. You'll be glad that you did. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.